Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Motherlode Podcast. We are your alternative parenting show. I'm Constance Zimmer.
And I'm Missy Pyle.
Listen, we all know parenting is fucking messy. Everything you see is a lie. We all know it.
And we want to rip the Band-Aid off of being a parent. So I want you to talk about doing Jimmy Pardo, because I did Jimmy Pardo.
I did
too.
The Jimmy Pardo podcast. Pardon me. That's all I got. It's
yeah,
great.
You were saying. I tried ask him for advice because he was like one of the first people doing podcasts.
He goes, Zim Zam. Do you think Zim Zam's going to catch on for Constant Summer Zim Zam? He likes to call you Zim Zam.
Did you get it? He gives people nicknames, though.
No, but he told me that I said to them, I think I have a little ADD, and the whole studio laughed. They were like, a little.
Oh. It's good, though. I like their honesty that they call you on your shit, because they call me on my shit, too. I like it.
What'd they tell you?
I'm not telling you. You have to listen to it.
Okay.
Anyways, I also want to talk about why you are handing me a prenatal multivitamin.
Listen, you know, and I'm trying to help you.
Are you trying to tell me you're pregnant?
I was late this morning, no, because I went to see my gynecologist who just, she'll talk to, you know, her name is Dr. Mary Kerr. She's fucking amazing. But she'll talk to everybody for like an hour, and they call and they're like, your patient's been waiting. So I waited for like 30 minutes this morning, and then I didn't have quite enough time to enjoy all the things she had to say. Because there's a lot of things she says. But one of the things she was saying today is how important folic acid is.
Are those all your notes?
Yes, she takes notes. She also said that the new Pope gave a good TED talk on love. That's what we started with. She was saying how important vitamin D is, that 50 to 90% of people are low on vitamin D because of sunblock.
I know, which right? is why they say don't put so much sunblock on your kids all the time, because they need vitamin D.
They need some vitamin D.
And also why people in California are sometimes healthier, because we have more sun.
More sun and more enjoyment in the sun. Okay, fine. Yes. She was also saying that vitamin D, so we're 50 to 90% low on vitamin, 50 to 90% of people are low, and that vitamin D actually delivers the other vitamins like vitamin A, vitamin C, zinc, selenium. You know, if you don't have good D, you get it. And what folic acid does.
No pun intended. If you don't have any good
D,
life. Sorry, just for. Well, actually works for both sexes.
Yeah. She was just basically saying how important folic acid is for depression and other things. Like, it really helps make you
happier. So don't
happier.
Be embarrassed taking prenatal vitamins when you're not pregnant.
Yeah, and so I gave Constance, she gives me these, and these, they'll deliver them to your house.
Ooh, this sounds like an ad.
I know, it's not.
It's not, guys, it's not.
Vita Pearl and Vita True. I think one of them's vegan.
That is.
For the vegans out there.
Anyway. And you know that there are lights. I was talking to Daniela about this because there is a disorder that is called SAD.
Yeah. I have it.
Right?
All
you
the
have
time.
The light?
No, I'm fine. Everything's great.
Where you can get this light that gives you the vitamin D that you need if you live in a part of the world where it's gray all the time.
Can
and
give
SAD
me-
stands for Seasonal Affective Disorder.
So get you some light.
I'm just saying. So we're just dropping some knowledge today.
Yeah. 5-HTP.
Don't start.
Passion flower 2 times a day.
That's
is going to make
exciting.
Life better for you.
Nobody cares.
I think people do give an SHIT. We're going to have Dr. Mary Curran. She's going to talk. And your mind is going to be blown.
But not today. Today we're going to have Aliza on. Aliza's going to come on.
Oh, Dr. Aliza.
We're
going
to talk about weed. So Aliza is a doctor, guys. We're not messing around. She's like a real doctor,
She's
the co-founder.
And educated.
Of the Mount Sinai Parenting Center, the Division of Behavioral and Development Health.
Assistant Clinical Professor, Department of Pediatrics, Division of, Mount Sinai School of Medicine. She works at the School of Medicine?
Yeah, but she also started and founded the Seedlings Group.
That's right.
Which is incredible. And I wish they were around when my kid was little. But that's why I have her now, because my kid's
That's
old.
A team of child development educators and psychologists that help parents mindfully navigate the challenges of raising children. And then their mom groups, right?
Yes. It's amazing because they give strategies that will help guide your choices and how you spend time or respond or nurture.
And you get to
child.
Have mom friends. You get to meet new mom friends.
Yeah. It's all kind of amazing. And she also has an amazing podcast called Raising Good Humans, which I just, the title alone, I'm like, why didn't we think of that title?
Well, because we don't know how. And no. She does. She is a doctor of doctorly things.
She is a doctor. That's true.
We are a doctor of
nothing. All right. Enjoy.
Have a PhD in enjoyment.
Hey. Hi, are you?
Hi. I feel like I know you guys already because I listened to you.
Oh, that's so cute. We're sorry. Can you give us some advice? Can you tell us how we're doing? Can you tell us that we're going to be okay? Can you be our parenting counselor to us? Like, we need help. We're the children.
That's true. Can you just be our parents? Is that what you're asking?
I love listening to it. I think it's great. And I listened before you knew I listened. How about that?
Oh, God. Oh.
I listened to the first episode, like when it came out in real time, because my friend sent it.
Would that be Mark Feuerstein?
Yes. I didn't want to. I mean, by the way, Mark would die and love being referred to as someone that I'm name dropping. Because nobody knows that name in that way. He's the face, you know, but not a name.
Yes.
Maybe that.
Well, we as you know, we're going to tell people because that's how we came to you, was through Mark. And yes, we had Mark on the show. And I know he was like, you guys need to meet. You need to talk. And I said, okay. And here we are. So yeah, talk to us about how you started and how you became who you are.
I thought we were going to go right into a topic. I actually did not start out. I was not born a developmental psychologist, but I was doing some volunteer work at a clinic, basically, where I wanted to do drama therapy, which I didn't even know was a thing, but I was doing theater and I thought, and I was young and I thought it would be cool. I had heard there was something called drama therapy where you can help kids and adults apparently sort of tell their stories, especially if they had gone through trauma, when you use art or drama or anything other than direct speaking. And so I found that there was a graduate school program. And when I went to check it out, they said I had to take a bunch of classes in like prerequisites. And one of them was developmental psychology. And it was just like dating for me. I just fell in love. I took like, there's counseling and clinical. It's so nerdy and lame, but that's how I ended up doing this. It was a very weird roundabout
way.
Had
you had your kids already?
And I did not, oddly.
Well, no, I actually think that's better because then it doesn't mean you were cramming for a test that you knew you were going to be like put up right to later in life. You were just doing it for the joy of doing it for others.
Yes, I truly was. I wasn't even dating my current ex-husband. He's the father of my children.
I've got a couple.
I just really loved it. And then it just evolved into what it is because I did get pregnant and that's how I ended up starting Siblings Group, was just thinking there's so much research and it's amazing, and we know a lot more than I think in some ways we know a lot from in the world of science about parenting, if you want to call it. I mean, there isn't a better way to say it, even though that's such a lame way to describe what we're doing as parents, but. And then there was like what's going on the park bench and what everybody's telling you in schools and your in-laws and your community. And we just felt like it would be so nice. We, myself and the partner that I started Siblings Group with, who was also a developmental psychologist, we just thought it would be nice to have kind of the science and then let everybody else do what they wanted with it instead of telling people how to parent.
That's amazing. And I think it's just so fantastic.
I don't know if this is too generic, but scientifically speaking, like, what are some of the things that we've kind of learned in the last few years that, that maybe we didn't know before that about parenting? I know that's kind of a, is that too wide of a topic?
I mean, that's a pretty huge topic. But one thing I think that's pretty cool is that brain science has given evidence to a lot of the social science of developmental psychology from the past 20 years or more. And so there's almost more validating science of kind of what happens to a brain when you're born and those first few years, and how much relationships can, positive relationships can repair and grow human brains, especially during sensitive times like early childhood and adolescence. And that to me is really incredible, because we kind of already knew that in the social science world and intuitively, but when you have brain scans to show what's happening in the brain when you talk to a baby and your eyes are lighting up, it's pretty extraordinary.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because we have had some episodes about what all this swiping and media and smartphones is doing to younger kids and their brain development. And then we've had an episode, you know, about wine and how the Europeans give wine to their kids at young ages and how that affects their brain development and their personalities. And, you know, and now we have weed because it's legal, not everywhere, but, you know, and it is all about, like, the studies and the facts and everything that's coming out is all about brain development. So that makes a lot of sense that you're saying that has just come into the forefront, what, over the last 20 years? Is that what you said?
I mean, it's certainly in the last decade we've moved mountains, I would say. On the other hand, I say this, and what I'm about to say about weed and many other things in parenting in general, is that there's still so much more information that we need. So a lot of times the answer is, and I think actually why people get irritated when you give purely scientific evidence, some people get irritated with me because they would rather a pretty strong opinion, and I'm happy to give it personally, but I wouldn't say, you know, we know 100% almost anything. We can get into the nitty gritty of marijuana. Whenever anybody has, like, treats parenting or anything like a religion, you know, how you have to respond to a kid in a particular way, it always, I understand that simplifying it makes it easier for us as parents, but sometimes it's like, well, sometimes that's true, but other times it's not true. And so I'm always a little bit like, we don't need, I mean, to sell a book, you have to have, it has to be, feel like a religion, or to make probably the podcast more interesting, I should say something more passionate. But many of the answers with pot are going to be ultimately like, here's this information. And it's the same thing we're going to do with our kids, give it to them. And then hopefully combined with our boundaries, they'll make good choices.
Well, I think on this pod, yeah, you wanna- well, on this podcast in particular, that what we're trying to do is, like, you know, create a community where we can all come to it, give our experiences, give what's happened to us, and then let everybody do with it what they want. Like, not making it,
right,
yeah,
I love
not
that.
Making it specific, this way is the only way, but also a place for us all to understand we're not alone in any of this, that everybody is dealing with probably the same thing, like every other person, but nobody has these communities anymore where they can talk about it and say, oh my God, is this happening to you? And is this happening to you? And I will say that this particular conversation about weed, I'm going to let Missy tell you, is because we had another mom friend come up to us and say, oh my God, you should really do an episode about this.
Yeah, one of my friends who's a writer, director that I worked with a long time ago, we saw her in the hallway outside of where we record, and she was like, oh, I have a 15-year-old daughter who came up to me and said, said, Mom, I need you to get my friends and I some weed. And she was like, well, first of all, it's illegal. I'm not going to be going and getting weed for you and your friends. And she said, well, if you don't get it for us, we're going to get it somewhere else. And I just was like, holy shit. I mean, to me, that was like the mother load comment. That, to me, that's like ground zero of, like, parenting. Holy shit. What do you do?
And I think today, this has actually been ruminating in my brain since we started this podcast. And I think today it was the first time I kind of realized, like, all right, I'm going to give you the information about what it does to your brain. And then you can decide if you still want to do it, you know. So I guess, like, let's hear it.
We all stand very proud and mighty and say, we tell our kids to come to us with everything. We tell our kids to come and talk and communicate, and we'll always be honest and we'll always be there for them. And if you ever want to try a drug or you ever want to drink, come to us first and do it with us in our house so we can make sure you're safe. But then when they do, I think you're like, oh, right. Shit.
Have you said that to your kid? If you ever want to try a drug, come and we'll do it together.
I've told Coco, I mean, Coco's only 11. You know, I've just said, if there's anything ever that you're questioning in life, whether it's trying something new for the first time, you should always come to us first, because we've been around, we've been on this earth much longer than you and most of your friends. So just come to us and ask us for advice. But she's not of the age yet where she's going to say, where I'm going to say, by the way, if you want to try weed, come to me. Because
if you
want to
try some heroin, come on, just come home tonight.
Yeah. So we Daddy would love, I. yeah, I just would love your advice, because I think this is a topic in general. I mean, the weed epidemic is a big thing that I would love to dive more deeper into, because right now we need to get the information out there at how bad it is for kids under the age of 17 for their brains.
Well, I think, you know, one thing is that when we can have open relationships and conversations with our kids about, come to us, be honest with us. If you're curious about something, I want to know about it, without saying, we'll make it work for you. Because you could easily just say, but certainly you want your kids to not be afraid of you, because if they're afraid of you, those are the kids who would rather get arrested or in a car accident than call you. So it's so important to do that. But you could just open up the conversation to find out what they think about pot. What information do they have about it? What are their friends doing? And that gets them to be the expert in their community and gives you a sense of where they're coming from. Because then they might actually ask a question or give you misinformation. Like, they might say, it's better for you than heroin. And you could confirm, in fact, that it's true. But they might also say, you know, vaping is better for you than smoking. And you could get into really interesting conversations and also point out, you know, there's a lot of research out there you might not know about, because there's always like an expert teenager that knows, you know, that presents as knowing everything about the particular drug that the kids are interested in, or how to drink the right way or whatever. So you almost want to be the person who hears from your kids and is interested, but also that they trust has accurate information.
You know what? I wear my Third Love bra more than I wear any of my other bras, and that's a fact.
Woo, facts.
That's a fact. Because I do, one, love that I didn't have to go to the store and try on like 10. Two, I was able to say with the Fit Finder all of the things that all my other bras do wrong. And then when they sent me this one, it was perfect.
Yeah, they like make you a bra. Like, have you ever had a boyfriend make you a bra? Girlfriend? Anyone? Any friend?
I don't want anyone to make me a bra, because I have found it. I have found it. Third Love is the best. Mm-hmm. And it is so easy. Okay. You have 60 days to wash it and wear it. If you don't love it, returns are free. I love that Third Love donates all of their gently used return bras to women in need. So they are supporting charities in their local San Francisco Bay Area and across the United States. And so far, they have donated over 15 million in bras.
And this is like hands down the most comfortable bra that you will own. The straps won't slip. There's tagless labels, no itching. It's lightweight, super thin memory foam cups to mold to your shape.
Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they are offering our listeners 15% off your first order.
Go to thirdlove.com/TML now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/TML for 15% off today. I think we really like talking about this brand because we have no Emmy, but we have Noemi Jewels.
Oh, no.
I did it.
Noemi Jewelry is affordable luxury. It's gorgeous. I got these tiny little hoops.
We have the same ones, by the way, because you copied me. But it is very exciting because they design and manufacture everything in the house and then sell directly to consumers with a lifetime warranty and free shipping both ways.
It's the only fine jewelry company that offers incredible quality at like a really low price. They have solid 18 karat gold. They have VS Clarity diamonds. They come with an IGI certification card you can personalize with engravings. You can even order custom designs.
It is the holidays. At Noemi, everyone gets the friends and family treatment, which I love. And they have thousands of five-star reviews on their website, so you can go see for yourself.
So if you're looking for the finest quality jewelry from a luxury brand you can trust, look no further. Go to HelloNoemi.com/Motherlode to see their collections and get $50 off your first purchase. The promo code Motherlode.
They will guarantee you won't find a better price for this level of quality. So just go to HelloNoemi.com/Motherlode.
And don't forget to use the promo code Motherlode for $50 off your first purchase.
I'm going right now to go buy something. How about just the mere fact that no one under the age of 17 should be smoking THC, cannabis, marijuana, weed, whatever you want to call it. CBD is different because CBD is not a brain high. It's a body. It helps with anxiety and sleeplessness and all that stuff. And that's not affecting your brain. That you can do. But it's, you know,
how
luckily,
is it not affecting your brain?
Because CBD is not a brain. How do I say that correctly?
It's not technically brain altering, but I actually was just at a, where was it? Oh, Aspen Institute Health Forum. And there was a panel talking about, is CBD as harmless as everyone's saying? And essentially, and also talking about, is it as helpful as everyone is saying? And they were saying that the people that, were on there were doing the research on it. There's very little research as of now. But what we do know is that the amount that goes into what's sold is usually not the amount that actually helps with anxiety or sleep. It's more placebo effect. And, you know, placebo is the strongest drug in the world, of course, the most powerful medication
and
you could ever have.
I mean, that's so fascinating to me. And why is that so? Why is that true?
Because our human psyche is powerful. And if you believe you're taking something that's false and relax your body and your system as beautifully as anything else, because it's just, you know, we have a powerful brain. Our mind just does a lot of work. And so, that's not to say there aren't many benefits in the right ways. I mean, they're doing a lot of research with vets who are in, you know, of high anxiety. But the dose was really high. That's what they were talking about. And obviously CBD dosage is very different than THC. But one thing that they said was, we don't know when the kids think something is innocent, or we think like a candy that's just CBD is just CBD. We don't actually know for sure unless you know exactly who that manufacturer is, and they publish the, you know, everything about the kind of chemicals they're putting into any, you know, it's just more complicated, especially because of the delivery system now. Candy, oil,
and it's also those not will be gone. Creams, those will be banned by the time our kids are old enough.
It's not regulated right now,
no,
right? I mean, isn't that the issue with CBD in general, is that there's no, like, I mean,
we just don't know. Yeah, there's no way to know what anything is. And it's not the only thing that's an issue for kids. I don't think CBD is even interesting to kids. But it's certainly not helping. I think there's a little bit on kids who have seizure disorders, but beyond that, it's a non-discussion. If kids are interested in marijuana, they're interested in getting high.
Yeah, and they want to smoke.
Not like chilling out and going to bed.
Yeah. I mean, the edibles, you know, edibles are incredibly enticing because they're chocolate and gummy bears and lollipops
and
lemonade. And, you know, I remember when
high.
When I first, and hi, how are you doing? I mean, the first time I got had like a, you know, and it wasn't even legal yet in California. I had a lemonade that was like THC laced lemonade.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And holy smokes.
Laced.
I mean, as an adult, that stuff laid me out.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. All of this research is a little bit not so useful. It's going to change drastically as they start to figure out what the long-term effects are, because pot now, like that lemonade is so powerful. It's not old pot. And so the amount kids get high, was that English?
The amount that kids get. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you're high right now, aren't you? This is a safe
space. Oh, I'm like, you're safe and you're too high. Well, maybe not as safe.
But anyway, the dose is super high right now. So it's the effects, and most of the research is on the effects of lots of, you know, taking in lots of pot on a regular basis, not the occasional
pot
smoker.
And also, they're not getting their pot usually in a legal way, because they're not.
Because they're underage.
They're underage. So,
well, they're getting it from their parents' medicine cabinets. Well,
now they can steal it from the. Yeah. I mean, in the places, by the way, there is no increase in underage pot use in places, in states where there's legal marijuana. On the other hand, one could argue, and I think they do, that the states that have legalized marijuana have more permissive views about marijuana. And so those kids were already. You know, there was already more pot use going on. So of course it didn't increase. So, but again, it's like not being legal isn't the problem, probably.
No, that's no, not I what just think it's like. What the reason why I bring it up is because I just feel like it's more like you can walk down the street and people are smoking pot, you know, in LA.
Totally.
And my daughter will say, what is that smell?
I don't
know
love that.
I'm like, what's that smell? And I'm like, oh, that's pot or that's weed. And she's like, oh, I would, you know, and she like puts her shirt over her face and like doesn't want to have anything to do with it. But so it's a lot more accessible than when we were growing up, and like it, you know, you would get thrown in jail for having weed or it being at a party or anything like that. And nobody was talking about it because it was illegal. So because it is now a.
Right. And now it is a bill. Right.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
And so.
And you're right, it smells everywhere.
And a lot of parents, you know, smoke vape in front of their kids, thinking like, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. This is legal, what I'm doing. So there isn't this thing of like feeling you need to hide it or go into a bathroom and hide it, even though I think, and this is me being super judgmental, even though I try not to be, but I totally am, that I don't think anybody, any parent should smoke in front of their kid, whether it's cigarettes or pot, just in general,
that's
unless
ridiculous.
You want your kid to smoke later.
Well, what about
in the future?
Drinking? I mean,
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
But also
drinking, I know.
This goes with drinking too. Kids who have parents who smoke cigarettes tend to smoke cigarettes. They become, you know, if you have addiction in your family and it's overt and in front of you, you have a much higher likelihood of having that same addiction. So it doesn't mean it's a sentence. It just means, of course, you shouldn't be doing anything that you don't want to model for your kids in front of your kids. So I think it's fair to say from that, not to do that in front. I mean, it's a very easy thing not to do.
But don't you agree too that the vaping kind of, because it was very much launched towards the younger generation with all of the stuff that was, you know, non-nicotine, just flavored bubble gum.
This is good for you.
Vaping. It was geared towards kids. I mean, I don't.
No, it was terrible.
I mean,
terrible.
It's horrible. And I mean, that's the stuff that people are dying from, is that weird vitamin E acetate that is put in these like candy flavored vaping devices that's killing people. I mean, I remember years and years and years ago, there was a company at one of these events where you go, you know, before award shows and you get like free stuff. And it was the first time I had ever seen these vaping pens. And they were gearing it.
And it was like
a
jewel.
I got like a pack of five of them. And one was like bubble gum.
And it was geared towards weight loss.
Oh, well, sure.
And I said, I walked up to them. And by the way, I did not take it. I just want everyone to know I didn't take it. And I said, weight loss, but don't you think this is something that kids are going to want to do if it's bubblegum flavored and cherry flavored? And what would make them not want to smoke that and then think like, oh, look, I'm so cool. I'm vaping. I'm not smoking cigarettes, but I'm pretending like I'm smoking. And they said, no, I mean, I'm sure some kids will think that's fun. I'm like, okay. Anyways, how do you sleep at night? That's yeah, but crazy. Then look at what it's become. I mean, it's crazy.
No, it's terrible. And actually, in England, they did it so differently. They introduced vaping as, you know, billboards with middle-aged fat men trying to quit smoking. And so it's totally unappealing to young people. And here, it was the opposite. Whether it was with or without the nicotine, it's completely targeting the kids who actually would never touch a cigarette. They were never, it was not on the table for these kids to touch a cigarette. It's so, kids don't do that anymore. It's the rates are so low. We've really eradicated the smoking epidemic. And then the vapes came in and kids who were like, feeling like they don't want to be too rebellious, but they could be a little rebellious or vaping.
So what's happening? I mean, what's happening when they, with this vaping in their bodies? I mean, I know the vitamin E, but let's.
Well, it depends on what they're vaping. But if they're vaping nicotine, they're getting a massive, much bigger dose than they would be getting from cigarettes. And if they're vaping marijuana, they're getting a much bigger dose than they would get from just smoking a joint. So the first thing is dose is higher. And what comes with higher dose, especially with nicotine, because it's so addictive, heroin addictive, is that you then crave it. So you get kids who are becoming addicted. And then the next step is to ultimately have an addiction to nicotine and cigarettes.
I was going to ask why nicotine
I don't even know what
why nicotine is, because I've heard it's so much worse for the developing brain than it is for like my brain. And I wondered why, like in massive doses.
The developing brain, and this actually goes for pot and alcohol also, is the part of your brain that kind of houses executive function skills, which is like planning, working memory, you know, impulse control, attention skills, basically everything to function, is not fully developed until between 18 and 27, 28 years, depending on your individual brain. And it typically develops earlier in girls rather than boys, in no gigantic shock. So I probably shouldn't say that out loud, although scientifically that is
right.
True.
Sorry.
And,
sorry.
and so when you have any substances that impair the growth of that or mess with the amount of matter in your, like the smart matter in your brain, you end up in a bad situation developmentally. And that's why kids who even smoke, I mean, this is an old study, but kids who smoked prior to the age of 16 versus after with pot and cigarettes have worse trajectories or outcomes than anybody. So if you tried it earlier, the more likely you are to have all sorts of bad outcomes. And with your brain, you have lowered IQ when it comes to pot. So that's, I'm sort of answering them all in one thing, because nicotine is a different kind of toxic substance, obviously. But it all comes down to the fact that your brain is very sensitive in adolescence. So it's like the way a baby's brain in those first few years is very sensitive. That means that you can learn the most when it's a sensitive period, and you can screw it up the most during a sensitive period.
Yeah, no pressure to parents.
Right. I tried to say to learn the most is a happy thing, because you're taking, you don't have to do anything. Like when you're open to learning and your brain is ready to learn, which are at those time periods at the most, you are in a great position. It's just, You're right. It is a lot of pressure in the sense that if you checked out as a parent during adolescence.
Have I ever taken you down the wrong lane?
Oh, boy. Here it comes. What here lane comes. Is that? What lane do you want to take us down today?
I'm going to take you down the Everlane story.
Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Go ahead.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because I do really like Everlane. I'm very impressed with their prices. I am impressed with their products. I am impressed with their business model.
Why don't you marry them?
I like Everlane because they actually have a store and then you can buy their stuff online as well. I went to the store like the day before we got this ad and I walked in. I was like, oh my God, this stuff is gorgeous. It's all like premium luxury basics without the markup. So like, you know, why would you pay like $50 for something that costs $7 to make?
And guess what? It's the holidays and everybody wants cashmere. Yeah. This is the best place. Everlane is the best place to get grade A cashmere because they're not charging you to put it in a store.
No.
They're charging you to buy a quality product that is simple and stylish. They also have outerwear that is made from recycled water bottles, and everybody knows how much I love sustainable fashion.
Yeah, they've got sustainable basics like quality cotton, sustainable silks, premium Japanese denim that's made at the world's cleanest denim factory.
So right now you can check out our personalized collection at everlane.com/motherload. Plus, you'll get free shipping on your first order.
Yeah, that's everlane.com/motherload. Did you know the government has not passed a major federal law regulating the personal care industry since 1938?
It's insane because that means companies are allowed to use questionable ingredients and make their own judgments about safety.
There's at least one company that's making better decisions.
We introduce you to Beauty Counter. Beauty Counter is a clean makeup and skincare brand that started in 2013, and it is disrupting the beauty industry by shedding a light on the need for stronger ingredient regulations in the personal care products we use all the time.
It's the leading clean beauty brand, creating innovative and high-performing products that are safer, cleaner than even like their like-minded competitors. They make products for your whole family. They have a rigorous ingredient selection process.
Yes.
They educate people on questionable and harmful ingredients to avoid and advocate for more health protective laws for the beauty industry.
I mean, their mission is to get safer products into the hands of everyone, right? Because
right.
They believe that beauty should be good for you. So what do they mean by clean? Over 1,500 questionable ingredients are never used in Beauty Counter's formulations. They call this their never list, okay? So from moisturizers to makeup, cleansers to sunscreen, Beauty Counter is at the forefront of using clean ingredients to create products that are effective and really work.
Right, and they also have this recently launched, it's called the Countertime Collection, and it's a safer alternative to retinol, so it keeps your skin youthful and hydrated with plant-based ingredients like bakuchi oil.
That's easy for you to say.
Thank you. So you get all the age-defying benefits without the concerns like sun sensitivity and skin irritation.
I mean, personally, I love the Dew Skin Tinted Moisturizer because I use the number 2 and the number 3 together, and it's perfect. But find out for yourself why Beauty Counter is the leader in clean beauty and explore their Countertime collection for safer skincare right now.
If you're new to Beauty Counter, now is the time to get to beautycounter.com to check out special holiday offers before they're gone. That's beautycounter.com. No promo code necessary, just clean makeup, skincare, and gifts for everyone you love.
When your kid comes to you in a happy, safe environment and they're 15 and they're a great kid and they don't party, but they just want to know what it's like or what it feels like or what everyone's talking about. And you know, because you have the facts and I don't know if this, how old are your kids again?
I have a 12 and a half year old and an almost, I guess she's just about 10.
So you're.
So fourth
got
and
it.
Seventh.
Okay. Because, you know, I can make all these plans of what I think I'm going to say when and if that would ever happen. And she would come and ask me one day.
Totally.
But when you are faced with it, I would love help in the best way to go about it, because of course my first part of my brain is like, well, you're under 17, nobody should smoke under the age of 17. And she's gonna say, well, all my friends are doing it, everyone's doing it. You know, it's the whole all my friends are doing it, everybody's doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Which we all went through as kids, and I get that. Yeah. And
yeah,
you know, it's I don't know that I feel like there's not a happy medium, right? I mean, you have to just make a choice and stick with it. I can give her all the facts I want, but she's still going to say, well, I'm here. And if you give me what you want me to try it with, aren't I safe?
I think you just got to take your kid into the woods, sell your house, and just go live in a tree for a few years and read books.
Until they're 18.
Until their brain, 18 or what'd you say, 27?
Right. Until, sometime between 18 and 27.
Or... do you have an opinion?
No.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of an opinion here, which is, because you're totally right, it's a lot different having a conversation with your sweet seventh grader who's still able to say, some of them might be curious about it and some of them are doing it, but for the most part, you know, they want to please you and they recognize also like that it's stupid. But as you get older and your kid comes to you and says what your friend said, which is like, well, I'm going to do it, so where am I going to do it? Or all the kids are doing it. That's when you want to, first of all, remember that facts are important. So of course you want to give your kids facts before, you know, always give them facts. But remember that facts don't really stop us from doing very much. I mean, we all know that because we all as adults, I mean, I can't speak for you guys, but I know that I do plenty of things. So I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
I don't listen to what anybody says. You know, so
Constance says that. I'm kind of perfect, but.
Honestly, I don't listen to what I say half the time. Like I have a ton of information about child development and I make mistakes constantly. I just am aware of them. It's like, it doesn't make me a better parent. It just makes me aware of when I'm doing something that I know is really not recommended. So giving them that information, but also saying, you know, what does it feel like to you to do this? Like, what are you interested in? What are you hoping for? And really have a conversation. Tell them to let you know what their friends are saying and talk about how it does impact their future and what are they looking for in their future? Like, can they really, do they feel like it's worth the 6-point in IQ drop that possibly happens, which is like lead poisoning, IQ dropping? Or talk to them about if you have a history in your family of, certainly if you have a history in your family of any addiction or abuse or mental illness, it increases the risk of those things to do that earlier. So if you start the conversation less about like information giving and more like, I'm nervous. I have a 15-year-old and I love you and I want you to be honest with me. And I'm so glad that you said something, but I also am scared that you're misunderstanding what your friends are doing. I think that, you know, you think a lot more kids are doing it than they are. The statistics are not that all kids are doing it. They're certainly not. And let them kind of talk to you about what they're hoping for. And if it is, you know, the delivery system, mom, I want the healthy delivery system because I'm going to try pot, then say, listen, I can't stop you from making that decision, but I'm not going to help you get a healthy delivery system. You have the information and you're going to, then if they want to smoke pot, you're not handing them the healthy pipe to smoke it from, because you need to have boundaries with kids and they need to know that you mean that. I think you guys just said that in a much shorter and concise way, but at least they'll have the information and they'll say to themselves, maybe I don't want the pot that's going to do X, Y, or Z to me. Maybe I want to choose a safer delivery system and I won't have the candy or whatever. Well,
I've already talked to my daughter about CBD versus THC. I'm just trying to get into mm-hmm. her brain right now at this age, because we have lotions that are CBD lotions that we use for muscle pain, or like she had a really bad bike accident and really scraped up her knee, and we put CBD lotion on her knee to kind of numb the pain. And we've done that a few times. And she's always been very like, CBD, isn't that weed? And you're putting it on my skin. And what's going to happen? And so, you know, had to have like a real conversation about like, this is the difference. People use, you know, THC for this as a brain high and CBD for more of a body. Mm-hmm.
Right there, it's totally a different thing. I mean, ultimately, it's not psychoactive, so it's just it comes from the same plant.
Yeah, and I guess it was just funny because I was like, oh my god, she's going to go to school and be like, my mom puts CBD lotion on me all the time. I'm like, oh my god, is that? But that it's not right. bad, and I think that's the difference. Is you know
no.
that I think I can teach her just at a young age because that's also like. I do CBD edibles and I don't want to, I'm not hiding that from her. I mean, it's not like I go, hey, look, I'm going to go eat a gummy, but they're, you know, they're CBD and I do them just before I go to sleep at night. But I just, if she ever asks me, I would always be honest with her. And then now that we've explained the difference between a THC cannabis and CBD, and she understands right away, like, oh, that's, I see, you're just doing that because you can't sleep at night or something, you know, it's right. not like a party drug.
Right. It really is explaining the difference. It's like one's whole purpose is to change the way you think. She also, there are no studies on how CBD affects eating it, I mean, affects kids. We don't have that information yet, except for, again, on studies, I think, with kids with seizure disorders.
My friend's but child.
It's just different. Your body's different.
My friend's child had a brain tumor of stage 4, and she has been taking THC and CBD for 3 or 4, and it has shrunk the tumor.
That's a totally separate thing, because when it's used medicinally, when you have cancer, I mean, of course it's like, and who cares if she loses 6 IQ points and has a little bit of a, you know, like that's,
it's, yeah,
that's
it's
a totally
party drug
thing,
versus,
and I think that's a very easy argument.
Yeah. It's party drug versus medicinal.
I mean, it's saved her life.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's important to share with kids, you know, being able to make a decision about, so think about what the consequences are to something. And if it matters to you, for some kids, they're going to be like, I didn't plan on doing X, Y, or Z. Like, I don't need that. You hope that you're arming them over time with the ability to make those choices. And you can say, look, I can't control what you're going to do. You're 15. You're going to do whatever you want outside of the house. I hope you don't. And I'm not allowing it. And I love you. So I'm worried. But that's the best you can do. Parents that do like, because I said so, and if, you know, you're going to get in deep shit. And those authoritarian parents have kids who do the most substances and lie the most to their parents. That's when you have like excessive boundaries and expectations and no sensitivity, or you're not listening to what they're trying to say to you. You're not hearing them. You're just like, nope, I don't want to hear one word about these drugs. And that's like, okay, you don't have to hear it, but then I'm never going to tell you anything.
Well, I just hope that in 2 years' time, or hopefully it's longer, if my daughter ever comes and questions me about wanting to do it, all the vaping will be gone anyways, illegal, banned, because nobody knows what's in those oils. That's just,
oh my God. I think there's going to be a lot of conversations opened up and a lot of new laws, I imagine. Although, God, I mean, I don't even want to get into that. The other thing to know, is there is some evidence that the female brain is a little bit more vulnerable during that time to pot.
I was wondering if we could shift just a little bit, and we won't keep you for very much longer. And thank you so much for talking to us. But I just have a couple questions. Can I ask you, because I have a 4-year-old?
Because she needs to. Yes. She needs some help for her age group is what she's trying to say.
I'm trying to say, bitch, please.
Because hopefully you don't have to think about this.
I just want to ask about a couple other things because I'm dealing with, my daughter's adopted from birth. You know, I don't have like a genetic, you know, she's not genetically mine. So I don't always, you know, I don't know if that is part of what makes, it's just, I'm questioning all the time. She's such a good kid. She's very strong-willed. She has a lot of,
not a lot of meltdowns, but she's been saying things like we were in the grocery store and I gave her a treat and then she wanted another one. Like I gave her from the box of, and I said, well, mm-hmm. you had one. I can't give you another one, but I could, you know, if you want a grape, you can have. And she said, I want another one. And like just wailing about wanting another one, flinging her arms about. And I'm like, fuck, I have to get these. I mean, this is my one chance to get these. I had people coming over for dinner. So I'm still trying to shop. People are staring at me. I'm getting hot. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry. And then this is the question is, I'll say, listen. And I know she's dysregulated. Like, I understand that. And like, I understand sometimes that I'm not doing the right thing theoretically, but I don't know how to do it. Like, I'll go to the, you know, I was raised in a slightly volatile household, but like, she keeps saying like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to give you one if you're, that's not how you ask for one. But I know she can't even hear me, but that's our conversation. Right. Just goes until I finally pick her up and then we leave the store. You know, well, I check out with the four things that I need and then, you know, and I'm just not sure how. I know the idea is connect with her and then redirect her, but I don't know how to sometimes do that. Or I don't even know if that's the right thing. But
you know, connect and redirect is a Dan Siegel thing. It's so great. It's like such a good thing to remember. However, of course, when you're in the supermarket and your kid is melting down, it's not so easy. And sometimes, especially by age four, you know, you set a boundary, which is awesome, which was, you're going to have this and that's that, whatever the treat is. And so then she's upset. And so of course, the connecting part is sometimes you can't say anything because they're too loud, but you can just kind of be near each other and just wait. And all you're doing basically is saying, I'm not going to reject you and punish you for being upset about this, but I'm not going to give you what you want when you're screaming. So you can still go about the rest of the stuff that you need to go about doing at the grocery store. And also not punish her for screaming and just let her kind of feel her feelings. And when she's calm, you can say, that seemed like that was really hard and awful. And I know you really wanted that. But we're leaving or whatever it is. But sometimes you do have to carry your child out. And if you can't talk her down, and you can't connect because she can't hear you, your physiology, your body, there's a difference between yanking your kid up and just being like, I cannot take this anymore and running out of the store, which happens to the best of us. But there's a difference between that and just in your mind telling yourself, right now, she needs to be upset about this. She's allowed to have those feelings. I need to get out of here. So I'm going to hold her. She will feel my calm. Because you can just tell yourself you're talking to yourself, whatever gives you a self-soothing moment, and then she's going to get through
Sometimes I'll be calm, and then it just goes on for so long that I'm like, oh boy.
At right, one point, I'm course.
Like, and then you, and I might even be like, are we still doing this? And I feel like I'm doing it wrong. Right. Like I should be doing something else.
Sometimes things go on for a long time because you're bending over backwards to try to figure out what will fix this feeling when nothing will fix it right now, except for getting you to bend over backwards to at least try to see how awful it is for her. But if it persists and you're like, she's 4 years old, she has massive meltdowns, you could, and you're checking to make sure that she's getting good sleep and all that stuff. You could think about talking to her when she's totally calm about different things that she can do when she gets that mad. Yeah. So that she has tools like in her pocket, in her, you know, if you're at home, just having some calming things for a calm space, probably, you know, if you have a really angry kid, if you had one of those lava lamps for them, they could end up throwing it. So you don't want to do that. But for a kid who wants to pick out like fun stuff that can help you feel calm when you're just seeing red and finding a little corner to put it all in so that she can self-regulate, especially if you're like, it's between me screaming at her or me just sitting here like going to my happy place and just ignoring all of this.
Yeah, and I would say that still works even when kids get older, because you're teaching them a method like to kind of end their own madness, you know, without them even realizing it, right? I mean, right. It's like, I think I used to do that with Coco, like after, if there was ever anything that went wrong or she talked to me in the wrong way or whatever, trying to do it in the moment.
Right.
Is just difficult for anybody. Adults can't even figure that out when they're fighting.
Right, of course.
Yeah. And so I would always either later that day or even the next day would say, hey, do you want to talk about what happened? Because I would love to, you know, hear from you why you got so upset. And I'd like to let you know why I couldn't help you, or let's talk about how I could have helped you. And we still do that to this day. I mean, I say things to her where I'm like, how could I have dealt with that situation better? How would you have reacted, or how would I have gotten a better reaction out of you if I had done something differently? And nine out of 10 times, she will always say, no, you did the right thing. I just wasn't in the right headspace. You know, so it's like, they are still kids, right? And they're still trying to, they don't even know sometimes why they react the way they do. Like, to your point, it could be lack of sleep, lack of food.
Oh, no.
You know, or just like they had a bad day, or, you know.
They're having a stress response. Like, that's a human thing that happens. It's what keeps us alive, a stress response. Like, if a bear is chasing you, your brain goes into a stress response and you fight, flight, or freeze. And then, you know, that's what we do when we think we're threatened. If you're 4 and you can't have a snack that you wanted, you feel as threatened as I do when I'm being chased by a bear, you know? And so what she has to learn is the difference, you know, the difference between a real threat and a, you know, a perceived threat. And that takes years. And the reason why it takes so long is because the way you get your stress response, that like fight, flight, or freeze response to something bad, something chasing you, the way you get it to go away is that your prefrontal cortex sends a message back to your amygdala. Basically, it says, there was an alarm bell that went off. I checked it out. Everything's fine. We can all go back to normal. But when that's not fully developed, you can't do that. So it takes extra time. It takes practice. That's why it's good to do mindfulness with kids, even though they don't actually necessarily do it. You're practicing it in front of them, and it's becoming something that they see modeled for them, so they have an easier time. You said you had like a lot of yelling in your house. And so you didn't get that opportunity necessarily to see what happens when people feel threatened and then realize like, okay, this is how I'm going to take it down a notch. But you can do that for her and she will get better at it.
Yeah. And when you say, like, for those of us who may not entirely know what you mean by practicing mindfulness, what do you exactly mean by practicing mindfulness?
So, I know that's such that does sound a little bit.
No, listen,
out there.
I mean, there's a whole, whole umbrella. And I've recently found the definition. One of the definitions of mindfulness is like having an emotion and letting it pass through you without reacting to it, which is something I am so good at so much of the time. But then there's that 15-20% of the time when, you know, the brakes are like hitting metal.
Amygdala.
Yeah. Yeah, you go into that place of like, screw it. But so being mindful is paying attention to the moment that you're in and accepting, which I think you were alluding to, which is what you were saying, like, I'm having a feeling, let a feeling come, let it go, without judgment. This is what's happening. And then you can make clear decisions. You can say, okay, I'm taking a breath. What's happening right now in this moment? I have a screaming kid. She wants a snack. I need to get home because I'm having a dinner. That's it. So what's my goal? My goal is to help her get calm and to stay calm myself. That's all I can hope for right now. Oh, wait, I can't control someone else's feelings. Okay, my new goal is for me to take a few deep breaths so that I can be calm and go about my day.
Yeah.
That's it.
If I had been a little calm, like I think I was a little frustrated with her, and I think she could feel, I think if I had been like a little more soothing, it probably wouldn't have lasted as long, you know, or just calm. Like, yeah, yeah, buddy, that's tough.
Just yeah, that calm.
I'm sorry.
But that's, don't be hard on yourself about that, because that's so hard. The whole idea of practicing every day, just being kind of calm. That's why, that is personally why I like meditation, is I'm practicing getting myself kind of at a zero and just sort of taking in what's going on and noticing it and then moving on and not being judgmental for just half a second. And then my brain goes into, you know, all of other places, then I bring it back. But it practices bringing your brain back to a centered place, so that when you are tested and you've got a kid screaming and you're really irritated with them, but you also know they need you to be calm in order to get calm, you can remember that feeling and come back. But I mean, that takes so much practice. And the great thing about kids is they'll give you a billion opportunities,
yes,
to keep trying.
Yes.
So I learned something that shocked me, Constance. Did you know that over 19 mazillion women in America lack reasonable access to something as fundamental as birth control? Or did you know that a third of women have used their birth control inconsistently to save money?
Well, fortunately, we have an exciting new sponsor that's doing something totally revolutionary with birth control access in the U.S. And I mean, it's about damn time somebody did. They are called Simple Health, and they're here to make your health care, you guessed it, simple.
Dun,
starting
dun, 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 dun,
with online birth control prescriptions and free home delivery.
That's right. It's safe to say that existing healthcare system can prevent women from getting the care that they need. Duh. Whether it's insurance barriers, income, or physical location. With Simple Health, you can get birth control prescribed online and delivered to your door for free every month. It's convenient, affordable, safe.
Okay, so whether you're already on birth control, looking to get back on, bow chicka bow now, or want to try it for the first time, Simple Health will take care of you.
Here's how it works. You go to simplehealth.com/motherload. You're going to fill out a comprehensive online health profile, answer some questions formulated to get the best birth control for you, your body, your preferences, your insurance situation. They take it all into account. Then a licensed doctor reviews your information, determines if you're a good candidate for birth control, and then they write you a prescription for the right method, and then your birth control ships to your door for free with automatic refills.
Automatic refills. Boom. Simple Health puts women in control of their own health. We are in a world where women's health policy is dictated by legislators or insurance plans.
Preach!
They believe that access to a doctor, insurance, or cost should never prevent women from getting birth control. So don't just take it from us. Simple Health has already been rated 5 stars by hundreds of women. And best of all, Simple Health is free with most insurance plans. And for those without insurance, it's still super affordable. Pills start at just $15 a month, and monthly shipping is free.
And we have to mention, of course, this is not a replacement for routine checkups with your doctor. You still need those for your overall health, but it's the most convenient and a comfortable way to get your birth control. So don't miss your chance to try Simple Health for free. Go to simplehealth.com/motherload.
Or just enter code MOTHERLOAD at checkout. If you're a lady, this is going to save you a lot of time and money. If you're not a lady, tell someone in your life about Simple Health. It will help improve women's access to healthcare. Everyone wins.
Go to simplehealth.com/motherload.
That is simplehealth.com/MOTHERLOAD. Boom.
Constance, I am still loving my Four Sigmatic.
Of course you are.
I'm obsessed because you know what? I feel great.
Of course you do. Because for those of you that are new, Four Sigmatic is a natural superfood company that specializes in mushroom-based drinks that benefit our immunity, energy, and longevity, and helps us live healthier, more enhanced lives. So why wouldn't you try Four Sigmatic? They make a wide variety of blends, including mushroom coffee, mushroom elixirs, hot cacaos, matcha, superfood blends, and so much more.
And it's super easy to use. You just tear it, mix it with hot water.
Or you could do it with cold water.
All right.
I like to mix the packets with like nut milk and even sprinkle it on some ice cream.
Whenever I feel like I'm losing focus, which is most of the time, I have the Lion's Mane Elixir. The brain-supporting benefits of the beautiful lion's mane mushrooms have been studied for centuries. With both short-term and long-term benefits, their dual extracted lion's mane extract not only supports memory and concentration, but also supports cognitive function and the nervous system.
If you are indecisive and you can't choose just one packet to start your day with, you can choose them all at once with the 10 mushroom blend tin. Perfect. For the holidays. Listen, you will feel absolutely great. I promise, because I do. You can also just blend it with your green smoothie in the morning or just put it on some oatmeal, guys and girls.
Join in the mushroom hype. Go to foursigmatic.com/motherload or use discount code motherload at checkout for 15% off.
That's foursigmatic.com/motherload or use discount code motherload at checkout for 15% off. Get that tin for the holidays. It's cool. Can I ask you just one question really quick? Do you have a second?
Uh-huh. So you thought it was over, yeah. But well, no.
I'm just ignoring my kids.
That's all right. That's that exactly. They're old. They don't care anymore. They don't need you anymore, right? Just like that.
Yeah.
It's just a quick thing because I do always like to have whoever comes on the podcast to just give, you know, maybe your top thing that a tip or something you wish you knew. I mean, it's hard for you because you actually had studied developmental
you are a doctor.
Health and you're a doctor before you had a kid. So you probably were like, I'm fine. I'm going to be so prepared. I'm almost over prepared. But even with knowing all of the things you knew, is there something that you would love to just put out there for new parents or even parents?
Something
that
you wish you knew before you went in. Or maybe had done differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can know plenty, just like with the knowing how bad it is for you to ruin your brain before it's fully developed. I think you can know a lot of things and not necessarily know how you're going to respond in real time. So for me, the hardest thing, and I think the most important thing, is to remember all feelings are welcome and all behaviors are not.
Oh, yeah.
And that's everything. And after that, everything else we do in parenting is a little bit of a rounding error after that. Like, of course, there's a ton to do and all that. But if you can just get that, I think that's the most important. And that means not controlling how your kids feel, but feeling comfortable helping them manage their behavior.
That's really good.
Love it.
I like that a lot.
Get back to your children. What are you doing, Aliza?
I can't believe that you're ignoring your kids.
No.
I love that we take time out away from our kids.
I use work all the time as an excuse to ignore my children. I talk about other people's children because I'm lazy.
I have a feeling.
But now I'm going to go right. be
I
with
was
going to
say,
girl.
I have a feeling you're not lazy.
Yeah, I'm highly job. All right. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much.
Nice meeting you.
Let's talk about that. You know, all I wanted to do was sit here and like talk smack about how bad vaping is and how many kids and adults, by the way, have died from vaping and stuff. When I get here on the podcast and I start talking to like another parent and a doctor and I go, that's not the issue. The issue is the conversation around it, because I could sit here and, you know, talk until I'm blue in the face to people and say, oh, these people have died and look at these statistics. And there it's mostly, you know, the candy flavored.
Just the idea of saying to them, like, well, what have you heard?
Don't you remember, too, that like the best time to talk to your kid is when they're in the car? Because they don't have to look you in the eyes. And I have noticed that is when Coco asks me the toughest
I always do
questions.
This, though.
Yeah.
And I look at her in the eye and I'm like, got you, babe.
Yeah.
But you know what Zoe's been doing to me, which is really interesting? She'll take, so the other day she took all the chalk and threw it. And I'm just like, I'm you know, one at a time and looking at me, like waiting for me to respond. And I was like, well, I mean, I do, if you're going to throw it, you know, you got to pick it up before we go inside. And then she's fine with it. But then she's like, you be the baby and I'm going to be the mama. And she's like, baby,
you threw all that chalk. I'll be like, yeah. And then, so she'll role play with me, which she's just done. She does this all the time. And it's really funny. And I'll be like, she'll be like, why did you do that? And I'll be like, or she'll say more like, or I'll say, yeah, mom, I did it. Why do I have to pick it up? She's like, well, because you threw it. You know, it's really like, she doesn't get mad or like, it's just really interesting.
Well,
she's been role playing with me all the time.
Yeah, that was probably the age when I was able to kind of talk to Coco and say, can you put yourself in my shoes and understand why I would have reacted that way?
You're bad.
No, but okay. I mean, and even with friends, like she'd say, I can't believe this friend acted this way. And I'm like, well, what was the situation and how should she have acted and how would have you act, you know? How would you have acted? And I think that's because at that age, they're starting to understand like, oh, you have a place and you do this and yeah. I do this. And so let me see what happens when I pretend to be you and you pretend to be me.
Yeah, it's pretty
I funny. Also think she's looking to see how you present her.
Well, I'll say I do a lot of her behaviors in those moments. I'll just do them to her and then she will usually respond the way I respond.
Right. Well, yeah.
Well,
but
I don't want to. No, because she does. There's so many other questions I want to ask Dr. Aliza, because right now she's, but I might as well just ask Dr. Zimmer. Because she's been doing a lot of no, you know, and then she'll look at me. And I don't mind if she does it to me, but I don't like it when she does it to other people. And I think I can just sort of pull her aside and be like, I can't let you talk to other people that way. So we're going to. You know, until you're talking, we're going to sit over here.
Well, I think too what Dr. Aliza was saying too about talking about it when it's not in the heated moment too is very important. I think we all think that they'll forget or they won't remember if you don't talk to about it right when it's happening.
No,
but
she's got to.
Oh yeah, they everything. All they got is that right now. They don't have all the
those
other
like
shit
fresh,
that we have.
They only got like four. She's only got 4 years. And that brain is like got a lot of extra space.
Yeah,
it's like a warehouse, and somebody's got like a futon and a ping pong table.
And also, I think I hate to say it, but you know, making them responsible for their actions. I don't know a lot of parents that necessarily do that. Like if they just let them get away with it and then don't talk to them about why it wasn't right or why it wasn't okay, they will do it again. And I'm not, and like what she was saying too, it's not like, oh, because I said so. Or, you know, because this is the right way and everything else is the highway. It's not that. It's just about saying like, you know, when you did that, that really hurt my feelings. So, and I'm your mom. So imagine if you're doing that to somebody who's not your mom, they're going to take it even more personally because they don't, you know you as well as I do. Or they don't know that you're doing it for fun and because it's funny. Here we go with another episode of I Confess.
Who are you?
Hi, my name is Alice, and I have a bit of an issue. So my husband doesn't believe in vaccination. So I want to take my youngest son to get vaccinated without him knowing. And I'm not sure how he's going to respond. Should I just rip the Band-Aid off and tell him? Thanks.
Yes.
No.
I'm just going to.
No.
No?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, but.
I think you ripped the Band-Aid off. That first of all.
I would say get him completely vaccinated first and then be like, oh, by the way, I did this. Because what's he get? I mean, he gets one vaccination and be like, over my dead body, are you going to do another one? I don't know. That's my thought.
It's a good thought, but then you're lying to your partner for God knows how long, because the way those vaccinations are spread out is you have to do them, depending on the age of the child, you have to do them like 6 weeks, I believe, 6 to 8 weeks sometimes, depending on.
Well, then also the child is at one point, the child's going to be like, oh, I got my shot today. And you're going to have a Band-Aid on your arm or maybe a bump. I mean, it will be a telltale, but who knows how committed this father is to seeing, you know, does this father
bathe the child or change the child's clothing? I mean, if it's just you doing all that work. I don't know. I'm on the fence.
I just don't like lying to somebody who is an important person.
You know what? And this is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to go ahead and say it because I was just at my gynecologist today and she was saying that they have researched for, and this is a slightly different thing, but they have researched infidelity and that to like ad nauseum, and that they're basically saying that it's better to tell your spouse to lie and keep it in than it is to tell them, like across the board, because it undermines a trust thing that if it somehow it's better. And it seems counterintuitive, but if you want the relationship to work, it's better to just hold it yourself, because really all you're doing is getting something off of your chest, but it doesn't actually ever help the relationship, or in most cases.
But that's infidelity.
I know.
This is dealing with a decision about your child. I think it's a little different.
I agree. All I'm saying is I think everyone should get their children vaccinated. And if there's an issue that this person is going to, you know, have a real issue with it after this one.
Or why not talk to him and have all of your facts in front of you printed out and just say, I made this choice for our kid based on all of these very specific facts, and I feel like it's the right decision, and I would love for you to be a part of it when I do it again, because I am going to do it again.
Did she say she already did it?
Yeah, she already did it.
She already did it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's up to you. I mean, I think you could get a few more under your belt before you tell him. It just depends on like how against it he is. Is he going to be like, I'm mad at you, or is he going to be like, over my dead body, will you do another one? See, there's so much information that we don't know.
There is, but I do believe that if you can give people the facts, written hardcore facts, whether it's from doctors, scientists, etc., to back up the reasoning why you did it, then there is no argument against facts.
I mean, I still think that there are people out there, no matter what, who will tell you, you know, it's nothing is black and white, but especially in this issue. But I think ultimately the reason that we have almost like such low infant mortality and child mortality is across the board because of vaccinations. So, and there are obviously always going to be small risks, and there are, you know, a lot of different theories, but when you look at the facts, that fact, I mean,
we need our facts. We do need to do an episode about vaccinations, because I do think we need to have somebody who is for it and somebody who is against it, because I would love to hear both sides, and I would love for our audience to hear both sides.
For sure. This has been another episode of I Confess. You can reach us at
213-259-3235.
Or leave us an email at themotherloadpodcast@gmail.com.
Or, you know, hit us up on Instagram, DM us.
That's me getting DM'd.
Okay. And now we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors.
Remember, you too can feel energized and focused every morning with 4Sigmatic. Go to 4Sigmatic.com/motherload or use discount code motherload at checkout for 15% off.
That's 4Sigmatic.com/motherload or use discount code motherload at checkout for 15% off.
Bye.
4Sigmatic is the place to be. 4Sigmatic has mushrooms and me.
4Sigmatic, and you can see how healthy you can be.
But remember, you know your child better than anyone else.
And don't overthink it. You're doing a great job.
This show is executive produced by Constance Zimmer, Missy Pyle, and Sim Sarna. Associate producer is Daniela Silva.
Editor is Wayland Productions. Music is by Josh Cook and Alicia Eagle. This is a Cloud 10 production powered by Simplecast.